there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Kristen Tiedemann, Program Manager for the Reentry Program at Mountain Comprehensive Care, Amy Samples, a spokesperson for App Harvest, and John Bowman, one of the Reentry Program's successful clients. Thank you all for being on the show.
Thank you for having us, Leanne.
It's reentry week here, and I wanted to discuss with the group a little bit about what that means for those individuals who are exiting the justice system and hopefully reintegrating into society. Kristen, to begin, let's talk a little bit about the program that you manage and how that affects individuals in the region.
Okay. We are in our third month of offering services for the reentry services at the Round County Detention Center. We are a part of a grant funded from Second Chance Act money from the Bureau of Justice Assistance. And so the purpose is to provide, bottom line, the purpose is to help people who are getting out of jail and help them to stay out, right? So how we do that is we provide services pre-release. We go into the detention center and offer substance use treatment. We offer mental health services, peer support, case management. We do all that for 3 to 6 months prior to release. And then once they have been released, we continue those services for up to 9 months after. So, we're kind of a helping hand for those who are getting out, just to have somebody who's there walking with them to for that release, to have a helping them to make sure they have a safe and sober place to stay, helping them make sure that they have a ride from the jail, clothes, food, anything that they may need in order to be okay on the outside of, out in the community.
Tell us a little bit about some of the eligibility requirements for the individuals to participate in a program.
So the participants in our program need to be, well, ideally, pre-COVID, the participants needed to have a minimum of 90-day sentence so that we could have at least three months with them pre-release, helping them to get ready. So some of the things that is helping them, like ordering birth certificates, applying for treatment centers, applying for, to live in a sober living house if that's their desire. So that all of those things can be started, normally it would be somebody gets out and then they begin those processes. This way we can be doing that so that when they're out, they get, things are already going. So that's the 3 months pre-release. They need to be living in a county, Round County or one of the surrounding counties around us. There's an assessment we give, which is a recidivism assessment to determine what are the chances of them ending up back in a facility. And on that assessment, they need to have scored as a medium to high risk of recidivism. And that's part of the grant requirements. So, That's what they have now. With this, with the COVID, it's been a little different because we're doing a lot of early release, and so some of our requirements we've been allowed to lessen. We're working with people that we may not, that we may just start with them a week before they get out, only so that we can provide the help on the outside. Getting early release and just being out there not having any support. So our funder has allowed us to ease up on our on those requirements as far as how much time they have to have inside the jail that we work with them.
Yeah, that was actually going to be my next question. We're currently experiencing really an unprecedented time, and I wondered how your clients are navigating as they get out, because there are a lot of people who are being released a lot earlier. And I don't know if this has been going on long enough for you to even realize if there are any repercussions at this point, or is it kind of a day-to-day wait and see sort of experience?
It's kind of been it's had ups and downs as far as the early release goes, and with the kind of shutdowns, people are being released. When they went into jail and when they're getting out, it was two different worlds. All of a sudden they're coming out and everything's shut down. There are no services. They have to stay inside. They have to social distance, and that's very different from what the world was like when they went in. What we're finding, though, is that it's almost a benefit because they're able to. I have people. Some of our participants are having an easier time because they're not out. There's not a lot for them to be able to do. And that's a good thing for them. They're staying home. They're getting to know their families. They're getting involved with their families, or they're working. Although employment's hard right now for them, but once things ease up, it should get better. One of the more difficult things is there's no recovery face-to-face AA NA meetings. Everything is on Zoom, and that's very different for everybody. We do our treatment through Zoom now. So we meet once a week, a couple times a week with the participants that have been released via Zoom. We do phone meetings. We do some meetings, I call it kind of porch meetings, where I might go do a home visit and I'm on one end of the porch and they're on the other, so that we're maintaining our social distance. It's very different from what we had planned that things would look like, but we're learning to adapt. Right now we're still able to go into the jail to do pre-release services, and we're blessed for that because a lot of places are not allowing anybody in. But we get to go. We meet with the participants one-on-one through the visitation glass on the handset, and so we're still allowed to at least a couple times a week, we're allowed to provide services to those who are in, and we're the only people who they're getting to see right now. So it's a nice thing for everybody.
How many
It's
people are currently in the program?
so we have enrolled 19. It's not huge numbers. We began the 1st of March, so in a month and a half, a little almost 2 months, we've served 19 people. 15 of them have been released. So it's the majority are definitely out in the community. Of the 15 that have been released, only four of them have we not been able to connect with since their release. Everybody else we've had communication with, we're working with. Some more than others, but we've been able to keep in contact with all but four of them.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that makes a reentry program successful is local employers who are willing to offer employment to people who are in the program. One company that plans to do that in the near future is AppHarvest, once the new facility is up and running. Amy, can you tell us a little bit about why AppHarvest wants to participate in this particular program?
Sure thing. Thanks for having me on this afternoon, Leanne and Kristen. Thank you so much for engaging AppHarvest in this important kind of conversation. AppHarvest will be an employer that believes in second chances and believes in having a community within our workplace. As a point of reference, we'll be hiring 300 employees roughly in late summer, and the folks who are coming from, the reentry perspective and angle are folks that we want to have conversations with. So As we've been developing our hiring plans, conversations with people and leaders like Kristen and folks over at the Department of Corrections and the reentry programs there are providing us guidance on how we can think about this. You know, making sure from the business perspective that we have kind of things in place to allow us to kind of consider the special considerations that go into engaging folks who've had this be part of their story. But that's how we see it at AppHarvest. This is just part of someone's story. It's not, it doesn't define who they are, who certainly who they're going to be. And we need good people who are going to come to work. And we're definitely excited to have those conversations to bring those people onto our team.
Are there different things that you have to consider when you're thinking about hiring people who are just recently out of the criminal justice system versus maybe someone who has no criminal activity in their background? You know, mm-hmm. what kind of allocations do you have to make for those different types of employees?
Well, sure. I think we're still figuring some of those things out. There are honestly not a lot of great resources out there that I've been able to find yet. I'm early in my process of learning. And I should say there are folks on our team who are, you know, digging in deeper and have more expertise on that HR side of things. My role at the company is as director of culture is trying to create an environment where people feel engaged and happy to work there. So certainly where everybody feels good to come to work, that includes, you know, making sure that, you know, people have what they need to be successful, including, you know, if there were, you know, certain kinds of offenses, you know, justice involved histories that might make people less comfortable, will we want to consider that? But, you know, if there's just some, you know, kind of minor mistakes that have been made in the past, we certainly don't want that to be something that would push people out of an opportunity to come work for us. So something we're still working through, I'd say.
I guess it is unprecedented territory when you have a brand new business opening up, but to kind of go in the very beginning and say this is a class of people, a group of people that we want to make sure that we are offering opportunities to as you're launching. It seems kind of like it's part of AppHarvest's mode of operation to kind of take those considerations in from the very beginning.
Yeah, I thank you for kind of knowing that history of who the company we want to be. Clearly, we're moving ahead with all of our work to be up and running and to have jobs available. Again, I just think it's really exciting that there will be, you know, 300 jobs coming available here in the late summer. I know that there's so much uncertainty in the job market and with unemployment right now, that this is something that I think can be really important to the community in a lot of ways. The food security angle on things. From the beginning, we've established agreements with partners such as the Fletcher Group and Addiction Recovery Care, and you know, getting to know Kristen and through this reentry grant and her work has been really, you know, interesting. And these are really conversations that are important to the AppHarvest, you know, company and philosophy.
Absolutely. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
The COVID-19 pandemic has quickly changed the healthcare system, but telehealth is making it easier and faster than ever to talk with your physician from the safety of your own home. Insurers and the government have temporarily relaxed some rules so appointments can take place over Apple FaceTime, Google Hangouts, or Skype. Some insurers will even let you use a standard telephone. Check with your physician and insurance provider to see if telehealth is an option for you. A message from the Kentucky Medical Association.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with some folks to talk a little bit about the reentry program and reentry week here in the region, a program which helps individuals who are in the criminal justice system successfully re-enter into society. And we have Kristen Tiedemann, the program manager for the program at Mountain Comprehensive Care, Amy Samples, a spokesperson for AppHarvest, and also John Bowman, an individual who has been able to successfully re-enter into society after some time with the criminal justice system. Thank you all again for being here on the show. John, I wanted to talk with you. I really appreciate you joining us today. You were part of the criminal justice system, and you have been able to kind of rebuild your life since reentering society. Tell me a little bit about how these types of programs have been helpful for you and how you've been able to make this a successful venture.
Thank you, Leanne. I want to start off by saying this. I've spent a lot of years in and out of jails and prisons since I was 18 years old. And every time that I had got out, it was always like it wasn't really more or less like a lack of support. I always had the support. I just never really had the resources to kind of get in the groove of, you know, how to restructure and rebuild my life. I just really didn't know how. I actually was released from jail a couple years ago after, you know, another episode where I broke the law and done some really, you know, stupid things. And luckily this time, you know, I had the right people in place, you know, to kind of to push me in the right direction. A lot of doors and opportunities have opened up for me since then. And, you know, I just grabbed a hold of them and I run with them. And if it was not for the people in my life today and the sacrifices that they had made for me when I probably wasn't, I probably wasn't even willing to sacrifice for myself, but they done some things for me, and I run with it this time. And, you know, life's, you know, pretty great these days. You know, I'm a person that's committed to long-term recovery. I had a drug problem for many, many, many years. And that was always more or less the main reason why I always ended up, always going back to jail, because I would get back on drugs and everything. Luckily, like I said, I've had the right people in my life today. It's kind of helped me, and God seemed fit to keep me on the right path. So.
Now, you've recently had the opportunity to work to kind of start a new career.
I have, yes.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I can do that. Like I said, talking about those people and the sacrifices. You know, I work for a great family. They've over the last couple of years, you know, my schedule. The things that I've had to do as far as, you know, probation and stuff like that goes, they've been really flexible with me. And I've had the opportunity to keep a job when a lot of places, you know, wouldn't let you go do this or go do that or be flexible with your schedule. So I work at Harold White Lumber, and, if it wasn't for people like Ray Watts, and the family at Harold White Lumber to give me the opportunities that they had, I probably wouldn't be, you know, where I'm at today. I probably would have gave up, you know, because things get hard out there. But, a few months back, Ray had come with me with the opportunity to go to Memphis, Tennessee to learn lumber grading, to go to lumber grading school to be a certified lumber inspector. And you know, I didn't know if I was going to be able to do that, you know, because there's certain things, you know, that I have to do on a daily basis now, and I have to have okays from certain people. But, you know, everything worked out, and, you know, God kind of intervened, and he said, you know, this is what's going to happen. We're going to send you to Memphis. And I was afforded the opportunity to go do that. And Ray, you know, seen something in me that I obviously didn't see, you know, in myself. And I went with it, and I promised him when I went that, you know, I was going to do really well. I stayed down there for 3 months, coming back and forth to Kentucky on the weekends, and went through that class. And I ended up graduating at the top of my class with the highest average. And I promised him I'd do that. If he sent me, I promised him that I would do that. And that's something that, I wanted to, you know, show my appreciation and my gratitude for him, you know, taking a chance on me. Because not a lot of people do that. You know, not a lot of people are going to stick their neck out there for someone especially with my background, and say, you know, we're going to give you an opportunity. We're going to send you 500 miles away to do this, you know, and I'm going to trust that you're going to do this, you know, don't let me down. You know, so he done that, and to show my appreciation for him and for the family and for the people I work with, I said, okay, you know, I won't let you down. So
that actually kind of brings me to my next question. There's a stigma that's kind of attached to incarceration, which makes it really difficult for individuals to find good footing, even not just employment, but just a place once they reenter back into society. Kristen, could you tell me a little bit about how the reentry program is helping combat that stigma?
You know, Leanne, we're able to start our services the past few months while we've been doing this at a time when Morehead and the surrounding areas where our community is, we're just so blessed that we live in a community that is so open-minded and open to second chance employment, second chance opportunities, to accepting people in recovery, justice-involved individuals. If it wasn't for that, our job would be a lot more difficult. So a lot of the work has already been done because of the, with the rehabilitation centers we have, with the sober living houses we have, and with the acceptance of all of that, the stigma is there, but it's not nearly like it is in other areas of the state or other areas of the country. So this is one of the things that we are doing to help fight that stigma. We're highlighting, like this week, we're highlighting individuals who have who are in the community that are second chance, that have been in jail, that have changed their life around, that are now successful, that are productive members of our community. So we're highlighting them on Facebook. It's going to be this type of thing and being just involved and getting out there to help educate people that this population, they're just like us. They are us, you know. Especially with the opioid and the drug epidemic, the people who are coming out of the jail are our neighbors. They aren't. They're our sons. They're our parents, and they're people who deserve every opportunity they can be given. And so, just education, I guess, getting out there and working with different agencies, working with different committees, to help promote this this program and help promote the second chance idea, you know. But we have people like AppHarvest. We have some great employers who are going to be doing a lot of that work for us too. That are willing to say yes, we believe in them. We believe in this. You know, we believe everybody deserves a second chance.
We do have a great region here where people are willing to step out of their comfort zones and offer those second chances to individuals in the community. And unfortunately, that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. I really appreciate all of you being on the show today. Kristen Tiedemann, the program manager for the reentry program at Mountain Comprehensive Care. Amy Samples, a spokesperson for AppHarvest. And also John Bowman, who is a new lumber grader over at Harold White Lumber. I appreciate you all taking the time to speak with me today.
Leanne, thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Morehead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.